We're going to continue with engaging God. And for those of you who have not been before, well, about 100 parts into it, but they're all on the website, so you can catch up with it. But we are on a journey, and I believe that is really an adventure to discover God and to engage the spiritual realms, both within us and around us and in heaven. And that journey follows a pathway of relationship and responsibility. Relationship of intimacy with God, but responsibility of actually bringing the kingdom of God into the world. So we've been looking at the pathway of relationship, and that flows from the inside out, and we're connected to heaven. And last week we saw that our first love gate in our spirit gives us access into the heavenly realms. So we're in module 4, looking at the gateways of spirit, soul, and body, and we're understanding the gateways. Today we're going to look at our spirit gates. And that's a picture of the glory of God, God's presence within us. First love gate giving us access to God and for us to have access to heaven. And last week we saw that we can go back into the heavenly realms, into the garden of God, and engage the ancient pathway of relationship. Eden, God's garden on his mountain in the realm of heaven. We can engage the river of life. There are waterfalls, pools of revelation, the Father's garden, tree of life, throne of grace, judgment seat of Christ, and many, many other things I've not encountered, but probably other people have, all for us to bring a restoration of where we were in the beginning, and to go beyond that into an eternal relationship with God. And we use this diagram, this is a sort of a two-dimensional diagram, if you like, of the gateways of our body, soul, and spirit, which enable us to be world-conscious, self-conscious, and God-conscious. And that diagram was given by revelation to Ian Clayton, and he's released that to the body, and it's been a real blessing. And we have a three-dimensional view of that. Indicates that these things are all connected and that we need to understand how our spirit, soul, body works and how we can engage the world. So we are all made in the image of God, and we're a temple of the Holy Spirit, it says in the New Testament. And the tabernacle, the temple, had veils or gates between the various parts. It had an outer court, an inner court, and a holy place. And we have the same pattern. We have an outer court, the body, an inner court, the soul, and a holy place, the spirit. So our spirit, soul, and body are designed to be connected and interactive. They're not supposed to be separate, although we start off from a separated position because we're separated from God and our spirit is separated from our spirit, and then our spirit and body have all the functions. And we'll look at that a bit more in detail when we get onto our spirit gates, soul gates. So we're designed to be a gateway for heaven to flow onto the earth. So the only way that's possible is if we're connected and everything is flowing. All of us are a gateway of the kingdom. And when Jesus was around, he said the kingdom is at hand. In other words, it's right here. So with us, we need to have the kingdom at hand. And for the kingdom to be at hand, the place where God rules needs to be from heaven into our spirit, soul, and body, and around us. And John 14:12 says, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. And so the kingdom has works, demonstrations of the kingdom's power, a higher government or law that can bring miracles and changes in this physical realm because of its connection to the spiritual realm, which is the higher realm. John 10:9 talks about going able to go in and out of the gate or the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. So Jesus says the door is like a torn veil between heaven and earth. And we can go through that veil and engage in the realms of heaven. And we can live under that torn veil, that open heaven, every day. John 1:51, Jesus again was talking, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And that should be our natural state. Open heaven over us, the kingdom of God around us, and engagement with the spiritual realm and the heavenly realm of the angels, so that we can actually see heaven transform the earth having transformed our lives to come into alignment with God's purpose for us. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, the one who joins himself to the Lord, and we've just been looking at 16, 17 weeks of how we join ourselves to the Lord in first love, engaged with Father, Son, and Spirit within our spirit, opening our first love gate and becoming one with him. Therefore, we have Father, Son, and Spirit dwelling within us. That is what God's kingdom is, that area within our spirit. And when we open our first love gate, it's like we're inviting the kingdom of God, the bench of three, the Father, Son, and Spirit to establish his government in us. But we have to make a choice. Do we come into agreement with Father, Son, and Spirit and make four, which is a doorway, a portal, so that we can become a gate of heaven on the earth for God's government? And every one of us has that decision to make every day. Am I going to open my first love gate and invite the presence of God and God's rule into my spirit? And then am I going to come into agreement with his rule so that that can go through my spirit, soul, and body to the world around me and change it? Now, if this works, this is a sort of 3D diagram or video of our spirit, soul, and body gates. And so we have first love. And beyond that first love gate, we have the very presence of God, God's glory, Father, Son, and Spirit, asking for us to open that gate. We have our spirit, which enables us to be God conscious and spirit conscious, and they all have different gateways, different spiritual senses. Then we have our soul, the area of our soul, which is where we engage world consciousness and self-consciousness, and that also has gateways or different abilities. We understand ourselves. And then going outwards, we have our body, which enables us to engage the world through the different senses of taste, touch, smell, and sight. So when you flip that over, that essentially looks like the picture of the gateways. And it's important that we understand how we function, that within our spirit, we have the presence of God. Within our soul, we need to have our spirit functioning. And within our body, we need our soul and spirit functioning to engage the world. So we need to engage the world so that the kingdom of God can engage people and things around us to bring God's will and his purpose to transform where we live, what we do. So we have all these different gateways, which are all different abilities within us, different functions that need to work together. And so there's a whole host of them, and we're going to go through them so we can understand them, engage them, open them, and see them flowing. All starts with first love. Everything starts with the gateway of first love, and that gateway is the key. And without that, we're never going to function. Genesis 18:7 said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. And that was Jacob talking about Bethel. We know, according to John 14, that we now become a house of God. And we are also a gate of heaven. So all of us have the ability to have God's presence live within us if we invite him to come in. And we have the ability to see that flow. Oops. So there's a huge potential for God to manifest the kingdom and heaven way beyond what we can imagine or think in our natural abilities, because we have supernatural abilities that are supposed to flow and to function with us. Now, we've been looking at how this flows from the inside out, with the river of life flowing from one to the other. The gateways are the key factor in bringing oneness and wholeness, because we start off separated and fractured. And God wants us to come together to be whole. Now, I spent about 3 years working every day on my gateways to understand them, to activate them, to open them, to cleanse, to purify them, to unify them. You can't take a shortcut. You can do it quicker because You can learn from what I've done and what others have done, but don't take a shortcut, because it's so important that this begins to flow. You know, I began when I started looking at how I was made by God, that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. And, you know, I was created to be his son. You know, I began to realize, though, how blocked, damaged, fractured, and independent my soul was. Even after years of working on it, you know, I hadn't worked on it from the inside out. I'd worked on it from the outside in, and it wasn't as effective. But I learned to understand how I was wired and functioned together in relationship, so that I had a relationship with God. I have a relationship, spirit, soul, and body, and that is designed by God for who I am uniquely and for who you are uniquely. You're wired particularly for who you are, and the different senses of your soul and spirit and body are supposed to work together in an integrated way. And I learned how to begin to integrate that, to bring that unity in my own self. Because most of the time we feel separate and fragmented because of all that's happened to us in our lives, all the damage that's been done, and God wants to bring healing and wholeness to restore us so that we really understand who we are and how we're supposed to be, our true identity and our true destiny. And I sort of looked at discovering how each spirit gate worked, how each soul gate worked, and how they worked together, and how they flowed from the inside out. I practice drawing on the inside through the various combinations of the gates. Now, if you know anything about maths, you know that there are sort of 8 spirit gates and 7 soul gates and 5 body gates, and that makes up quite a combination. So I practice going from each combination to make sure I understood how they work together. So I would do things like I would engage my faith gate with the word of God. Let's say you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And I would engage that with my reason gate so that I would then begin to get the thoughts of God around that and meditate on it. And then through my touch gate, I could then release that healing anointing. So I practice drawing on the different gateways of how they work together so that faith and the grace of God, the divine enabling power of God, combine to produce anointing and power. Hence, when you lay hands on people, people often feel heat or vibration because literally something is vibrating. The grace of God is vibrating when you engage faith with it. Now, after sort of 5 years of sort of daily engaging and flowing in this way, it just seems to function. I don't think about it anymore. It just happens. So I find these things working together as they were supposed to because I've practiced opening them, letting it flow, working together. Now there's a unison. Now I'm sure there's plenty more to discover and plenty more to get activated, but it's so different. And I feel so different as a result of going through this process. I feel one and whole and flowing. And, you know, every day, you know, I'm engaging with people, you know, all over the world and connected to heaven, and heaven is connected and flowing. And it enables me to bring wisdom into situations, to answer questions that I don't know the answer to, because you're connected to God and that can flow. So every day I choose to become joined to the Lord by surrendering my spirit to him, Father, Son, and Spirit, so I can be joined to him. Then my spirit, because I've grown it and exercised it and strengthened it, is not weedy like it used to be. It now has the capacity to go and encompass my soul and my body and create an atmosphere around me of the kingdom. Now, it took a while to do that. You know, you don't get strong muscles without actually exercising them, so you have to practice. But in practicing, now my spirit has grown and can do this automatically or instantly as I engage it. But it took, you know, 4 or 5 years. Now, I believe if you activate the revelation that we have, then you can do that a lot quicker. But you still have to practice. It doesn't come automatically. You have to actually engage. And it's like, I use the example of a balloon. When you blow a balloon, particularly, you know, I remember as a kid trying to blow up a balloon, it was so hard to just get it moving. Because there's an inertia in the rubber that doesn't want to stretch. So you have to put a lot of lung capacity into getting it first to expand. But once you then continue to blow into it, it continues to go bigger and bigger. And when you let all the air out, next time you come to blow it up, actually it's so much easier. So we have the capacity to strengthen our spirit, but we have to exercise it so that it's easier to grow and to flow. So this whole process, I think, is really key. So we were created to be somebody, God's son. And if we're wanting to be that person, then we have to stop being a has-been. Now, a has-been is someone who's controlled by their past. God wants us to be controlled by eternity and to engage our future to bring change to it. And if we keep hacking on about the past and the past keeps affecting us and we keep being under the control of our past, what's been happened to us, the damage, the abuse, the different things that have happened to us, the things that are done to us, the things that we've done, and we're controlled by that, we will never be the person that God wants us to be. So we need to be changed and transformed. Don't try and take a shortcut. You know, everyone wants a shortcut. Microwave dinner, it does not taste as nice as a dinner cooked from scratch. But it takes a lot longer to cook a dinner from scratch. So it's putting something into it to get something out of it. And if you want to become who God created you to be, don't try and take a shortcut. I mean, the charismatic church has sort of adopted, we'll lay hands on everyone and impart this to everyone, therefore everyone will be different. Well, I believe in impartation, but I don't believe you can actually impart character or fruit or growth. You have to grow and engage that. And I encourage everyone not to believe the deception that it's already done. There's a whole teaching out there among the Christian community. Well, Jesus did it on the cross, so we don't have to do anything. Now, I totally believe Jesus did everything on the cross, but we have to appropriate it. We have to engage it and we have to apply it, and it has to change us and transform us. Just because Jesus did it doesn't automatically make it so in our lives. Otherwise, as soon as we became a Christian, everything would have been perfect. There would have been no sin, sickness, or anything else in our life. Well, we know that hasn't been true, because it's a journey and a process of becoming like him and growing. Now, gateways are very, very important, and there are different things in the Bible, which I'm not going to go into, but I'll give you some examples that happened in gateways. Business transactions, 1 Kings 22:10. Legal transactions, Ruth 4, 1-11. Criminal cases, Deuteronomy 25, 7-9. Disputes, judgments, Deuteronomy 25, 7-9 again. Proclamations, Jeremiah 17, 19-20. Festivities, Psalm 24, 7. Protection, 2 Samuel 8, 24-33. Our gateways of our spirit are also designed for various functions. They have various things that go on, and it's important to understand how to open them and activate them and operate in them. And because if you don't, the enemy will. So our gates are like our senses or abilities. So our spirit has different senses or abilities. Our soul has different senses and abilities, and so does our body. Our spirit has 8 gateways, our soul 7, and our body 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Make your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." So there's a design there to bring our spirit, soul, and body into wholeness, to be blameless, to be holy. God's desire is that we become unified and whole, reconciled and restored. Now, that is not going to happen overnight. So what are the gateways? My spirit has fear of God, prayer, reverence, hope, faith, revelation, intuition and worship. And of course, the first love gate, which takes us back into heaven. My soul has conscience, imagination, reason, mind, which is our heart, subconscious, conscious and unconscious, emotions, will and choice. Now, the reason worship and choice are in red is because they are the key gates. Because you can have all the senses and functioning of the gates in our spirit, but if we don't come in worship, which means to bow down in obedience and honor God as king, then it won't come to anything. And we can have all our soul gates in agreement, but if we don't choose consciously to do what our worship gate is guiding us and directing us to do, then we'll get stuck. And then we have our body gates, our eye, ear, nose, mouth, hands, sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch. And those are our physical senses, but our physical senses are engaged with the other senses, so we're a whole being. So a gateway is a place of authority where dominion is exercised. Whoever controls your life's different gateways exercises authority, dominion, and control over you. And that's really the key. Who's controlling your life? You? Someone other than you? Your past? Maybe demonic things? Or is God, Lord of our life? Our gates are designed to be opened and flowing from the inside out so that we can become that gateway of heaven. Everything that we've learned has come from the outside in. Now we have to relearn to see things flowing from the inside out so that we can have the glory of God engage our spirit gates and then activate those gates and then flow through those gates, and then those gateways activated and the senses of our spirit functioning will direct our soul and our body and engage the world. So everything is supposed to just go from the inside, flowing outwards. So we have the gates of our spirit. Now remember that we also have some outside help, seven spirits of God. Spirit of the fear of God, fear of the Lord, spirit of counsel, spirit of knowledge, spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, and spirit of might are created by God to help us come into understanding of our spirit and how we function. So we can draw on the revelation and invite the seven spirits of God to be part of this process. We engage them here often in worship, but you can actively engage them within your own spirit to help in this process. Now, the fear of God, reverence, worship, and prayer are like fellowship gates. They're relational gates. They help us fellowship with God, experience Him, engage Him, and come into deeper intimacy with Him. The faith, hope, revelation, intuition, and the heavenly gate are about revelation. They're revelatory. They give us insight, wisdom, knowledge. They help us to understand and to function. So our fear of God gate, what is it? Well, it's not being afraid of God, but it's having this awestruck, this being in awe, the awesomeness of God, His all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, almighty God, the consuming fire who God is, and He lives in us. And it's having that sense of who He is and who we are as His children. And it's not being frightened of Him, but it's having this amazing respect. And then reverence is how honor and respect get outworked, because reverence helps us to keep our life in alignment with who He is, so that we please Him and serve Him and bless Him rather than bringing dishonor and disrepute to Him. So functioning, that will help us to make decisions in our life based on what will please God rather than what will please ourselves. Then we have worship, which is obedience or obedience and surrender and submission. Our prayer gate is constant two-way communication. You know, it's not sit down on my knees, put my hands together and pray the Lord's Prayer. You know, prayer has become something of a ritual rather than a relationship. It's not something we do, it's who we are. We are in communication with God. We can fellowship with Him and relate to Him and continually have a flow of communication. Praying in tongues helps activate that. So when we pray in tongues out loud or in our mind or when our spirit is continually bubbling away in tongues, literally we're communicating with God all the time. It's just we've not learned to be cognitive of what the process was going on. So as we engage these gates with our soul gates, then we can actually become more aware of what's going on in our relationship with God and in our spirit. Faith gate is where we come into agreement and harmony, understanding and knowing God's purpose. And when we believe, then that can be activated and things can flow through it. Hope gate, where visions, dreams, those seeing opportunities that come from God. The revelation gate, where inspiration, light, counsel, wisdom. Intuition gate, knowledge, gut feelings, and instinct. And then you have the heavenly gate, which gives us access into the heavenly realms. Now, that's how I engage these things and learn to understand what they are in my relationship with God. That's just my interpretation of what happens in me. It may well be different in you, which is why you have to find out for yourself. You can't just look at that and think, oh, well, that's what it is for me. Yes, there will be principles there, but find it for yourself. Find your own relationship. Build that relationship. Let that relationship grow and develop in intimacy as you understand who you are and how all these things can then begin to function and flow. Now, it's important that we see that those gates interact with our soul gates, conscience, reason, imagination, our mind, subconscious mind, but also our conscious choice and our emotions and our will. And they work together, and we'll look at more of that when we look at the soul. But they need to flow out. All of our soul gates have been influenced by what has come from the outside. Now they need to be re-influenced and transformed by what comes from the inside. So in our relationship with God and our fellowship with God, in knowing him, then that can impact how we know ourselves. And we become self-conscious only in connection with God. See, Adam was never self-conscious or world-conscious outside of being spiritually aware and in relationship. Because we've been separated from God, we've learned a whole load of things from the world that we now need to re-engage. So my soul mediates who I am as my spirit is engaging in heaven. So who I really am, created to be in my spirit, my soul mediates that. It enables that to come into being. So my soul takes on the reflection of my spirit because my spirit is being revealed in heaven. So when you step into heaven, you are a spiritual light being. And who you are there, and the more time you spend there in connection with that realm, enables your soul to take that and begin to transform itself into that heavenly pattern. So it's literally, I'm a resonant frequency. I am a frequency. I am vibrating and I carry a wavelength in my spirit. It's who I am. And then as I begin to vibrate, literally that causes my soul to resonate with that frequency. And I change and align myself with the major frequency. When my soul has been the major frequency, it has actually determined who I am and shaped how I think, how I feel, how I act. But when my spirit is vibrating and carries the truth of who I really am, created by God, then it changes the minor frequency into alignment. So my soul aligns with my spirit. But if my soul is competing with my spirit, because that's what it does, the flesh wars against the spirit, then who's in control? Who is the major frequency? The more time I spend in the presence of God and the more time I spend as a light being in heaven, the stronger my spirit and that vibrational frequency becomes, therefore the more of a major frequency it is and a vibration, and therefore the soul surrenders to it and aligns itself to it. So I have to do that to see that flow. So I'm transformed from the inside out. And then I can become a reflection of my eternal image. And ultimately we will be transfigured to radiate the glory of God like Jesus was, so that we actually reflect that we are a light being. Because Adam had his spirit on the outside of his body, not on the inside. Therefore, he engaged the world with his spirit first, rather than his body and soul. So it's up to us to get our spirit in a place where it can encompass our soul and our body and engage with the world. And therefore, we get firsthand what's going on in the spiritual realm. So all these things begin to work together. So for me, in my engagement with this and learning, I've saw that my fear of God and reverence gates work together to touch my conscience. They direct my conscience and they direct me and guide me. My worship gates work with my choice. So when I surrender in obedience, then I can choose to say yes to God. When I'm not in surrender and obedience, it's very hard to say yes to God and very easy to say yes to me. Now, I want me and God to be so joined that I always want to do what God wants to do. But that's not always the case because we're in a journey. So prayer, for me, works in my reason gate. I always have thoughts in my mind. That's how I engage with God. Other people engage much more in feelings and impressions. But for me, it works that way. Faith works in my reason gate because it operates in thoughts in my mind. But hope works in my imagination gate because I start to see and experience things as visions and pictures and expressions like that. Revelation gate works in my conscience, imagination, and region, because revelation comes to me in different ways. Now, usually it's in my mind, because that's what I've trained it to be, because I want to be conscious of what I'm doing on a daily basis. So I can't always close my eyes to picture something in my imagination. So I've learned to tune my mind into my spiritual thoughts so I can understand by perception what's going on. But we may all be different. Intuition, that works in my imagination mostly, and my emotions. Particularly emotions when it comes to those gut feelings. You know, I used to be very, very logical and work things out and make decisions based on what was the best thing to do. I am now much more instinctive and will make decisions on what I feel instinctively comes from intuition. Now, I had to develop that because I was very non-intuition orientated. Intuitive, yes. That's the word, intuitive. When I was how I was in the past. So I've had to change that to become more intuitive. And because I've engaged in heaven and my imagination has been very active there to see and to experience, now all these things begin to function so I can engage in any of the realms just because I'm me. You know, I've learned to be me more. Now, Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Now, fruit grows. You know, it doesn't just appear. Now, as the river of life flows in me, then the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, grows. As the river flows, the fruit grows because it's fed continually with life. It sustains life. And therefore, it makes me more like Him because that's the fruit of His character, so that I can operate in love, joy, and peace. Now, you know, there's a long way to go for most of us. And it's like we're on a journey for this fruit to be growing so that we live this way. But the more the river of life flows, the easier it is for that fruit to grow. So that love, joy, peace operate within the context of my spirit and then in my soul. So not just my spirit is aware of those wonderful spiritual things, but my soul becomes outworking those truths. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:8, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kind of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. They're all the gifts of the Spirit. Now, as the river of life flows, those gifts are activated through different gates. They become functioning. Now, it's not just then that the Spirit operates with those gifts joined to me, but I learn to operate those gifts myself so that the Holy Spirit is teaching me how to operate in wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, particularly engaging the gift of tongues. So then I learn how to do those things by activating my spirit rather than just when the Holy Spirit wills, because those gifts are given so that I can be an outworking of them and I function. And often people function in several of those gifts more than others, but we can learn how to do that. So it's really important to align our spirit gates. So there, presence of God is going through my fear of God gate. They're going through my worship gate. And when I was practicing this, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I made a little diagram and I then photocopied it and cut it out. And I made a wheel that were all interacted so I could turn the gateways to function and flow. And, you know, I would have brought it, but I can't find it. It's home somewhere. But that really helped me to align. So I was thinking, how does reverence work with my conscience? How does it work with other aspects? So it's sometimes it's just good to have a visual thing to help. So as the river of life flows, according to Ezekiel 47, it flows deeper and deeper. And so as our gates are open, there is more capacity for the Spirit and the life of God to flow. So I can literally, So literally then the living water flows to activate, energize, and cleanse. Ephesians 5:26, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, so that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but she should be holy and blameless. Now, that's talking about us collectively as the body of Christ, but we're all individually members. So the water of life and the washing of that truth and the word of God can change us to bring us into holiness and blamelessness before him. So engaging the living water activates and energizes our spirit gates, but that living water can cleanse and sanctify, set apart our soul gates. Living water then can be the source of life and blessing to others, because in Ezekiel 47 it says that river eventually produces life wherever it goes. So is there any life around us? Are people engaging in any of that life? Is that life bringing healing and wholeness and change and transformation to the world? Well, we've got to practice and learn how to do it. Daniel 7:10 says a river of fire was flowing and coming out before him. So we need to see that there's more than that river flowing. Oops. I'm struggling with this thing. So that river of fire can flow through our gates just like the river of water to bring purification and refinement to the gates of our spirit, soul, and body. 1 Peter 1:7 says, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire. See, the fire of God will test the purity of those gates and will activate them and refine them and purify them. So as we become one spirit with the Lord, we become more like him. The gifts of the Spirit, the equipping, flow, the fruit of the Spirit forms character, and everything flows from the inside out. We can literally become like God, like his sons and daughters to the world. Because God is not physically seen in the world, so he wants people to represent him on the earth, to be like him, to carry his character and his ability and his power to bring love, joy, peace, into the world, to bring healing, wholeness, and miracles into the world, to show that God's power is greater than that in the world, so that this can all begin to flow outwards. So, how do we go getting our spirit, soul, and body back into original condition? But also, how do we grow and mature from that original condition to our intended eternal condition? Because Adam and Eve were sinless, but they weren't yet perfected. They would have still had to been conformed to the image of Jesus. Therefore, there would have been a process of transformation for them. That we need to go beyond where they were into what our eternal purpose in God is. You have to do it by practice. You have to train ourselves to flow from the inside out. There's no other way of doing it. It takes time, discipline, diligence, vigilance, and all those words, patience, perseverance, that cause us to struggle because we want things to be done now. This is a process of change and growth. So how do you do it? Well, you engage Jesus in your gates. What do they look like? What do they feel like? And what do they do? Find out by going there with him and engaging him. Open the gates and invite Jesus to walk through as Lord. Surrender the gates, each gateway to him. Let Jesus activate them. Sense the activity. What is it like when things flow through it? Engage outside your spirit gates, because there is engagement where the soul and the spirit are connected. What is there? See what's there. When you look at your gates, you will tend to find that they're not all wonderfully pristine and open and flowing. There may well be things, when you see them, they look like they're locked or blocked or barred or full of brambles or barbed wire. You know, you'll have all sorts of potential visions or images that will show you what that's there. If you see something outside of your gates of your spirit and it's dark and foreboding, then it's usually a familiar spirit there because it's wanting to block the flow. So what's there? Identify if there are any familiar things there. And then lie bust it, go to the courts, deal with why they're there so that you can be free from the influence that's going to stop the blockage and to the flow. So then activate the flow and engage to the soul. Let the river of life flow through it. Let that fire and glory of God come through it so that your spirit will begin to engage your soul and to bring that transformation to it, so that your soul will just want spiritual activity, not worldly activity. But it's an ongoing process. So when I looked at this, I looked at my spirit gates. When I first started, I just wanted to get in there, open it, and move. But as I've sort of gone back over this time and time again, I took more time to look at it. And my spirit gates all look different. Now, yours will probably look different. They won't look like mine, but here's an example of what mine looked like. My fear of God gate was a strong gate with an arch shape, and it was wood and iron and stone. That's how it appeared. My reverence gate was like a blue, pure diamond, shimmering with light, and it was an arch, and there was a doorway which almost like carried something of the very essence of God. Prayer gate was just pulsating with light, electricity, like neurons pulsing around it, just real vibrant energy. Hope gate was like a mirror. It was like a mirror that reflected something of the dimensions of God, the possibilities. Revelation gate had 12 stones making up an arch, and those 12 colors lit up. And when they did, different things would happen. Like the gate would be like a screen, like a light wall. Intuition gate was just swirling colors flowing together, constantly changing in shapes. Now, you know, some of this is just symbolic, but actually I know what that means to me. When you find what your gates look like, you'll know what they mean for you. My faith gate was just like an amazing rainbow. And it was just filled with potential possibilities. And the archway was like a framing reality. Because I can bring from faith heaven through me. So it's full of creative potential. Worship gate was just pure white light. But there was just a sense of peace, just perfect peace. Knowing the mind of God and the will of God and being in agreement with oneness just felt amazing when I stood in that gate. Now, what do we do? Step one. Open the first love gate. That's the first step. Give God first place, first priority. Open that gate. If it appears locked, nailed shut, covered with thorns or etc., you've got a problem. But it's a projection of the soul's fear for intimacy. The hurt, the pain, the rejection that the soul feels protects us. So it may not want us to come into an intimacy with a authority figure like God as Father, because we have our problems with our own parents or other things. So it's just a projection. You can open your spirit gate because there's no enemy activity in there, but it can cloud your mind so that when you look at it, it can appear that you can't open it. Most of us have been damaged by other relationships, so they can have an effect. You know, first love, who was your first love and did it damage you? Because that has an effect on the soul when it comes to engaging with intimacy. So if you have a problem there, renounce any inner vows you made. Repent of fear, forgiving any hurts that people have done. Rebuke all the projection as a lie, because it's a lie. It's your first love gate and you can open it. So don't be lied to. Choose to deliberately open that door. By choice, invite God into your spirit and then choose to be a channel for God's glory to flow through you, your soul and body, to the world. Choose to do that. Step two, engaging your spirit gates by acting in faith and meditating on the gate, the word. You know, whether it be reverence or fear of God, just meditate on the word and begin to think about it and begin to activate it. And then begin to surrender my spirit to God. I want to surrender that gate. I want to know the fullness of who I am, who I'm made to be. So activate your imagination and ask Jesus to walk with you to each of the gates and then have a look. What do they look like? Engage them. You know, invite the river of life to flow to that gateway and look at the symbolism. Engage all your senses. You may feel impressions, perceptions, thoughts, pictures. It may be a video that's going on if you're active in your imagination, but you can begin to see what the gates look like. Ask Jesus to give you revelation of the meaning and function and purpose in your spirit and how you're wired up to be. See, I have certain gateways that are very strong and some that aren't so strong. And I've developed some of the other ones, but actually most of the time I focus on the ones that I'm wired up to be. So if the gates appear blocked, your spirit gates, again, it's a projection. They aren't blocked, but they may appear to be. If so, ask Jesus why. Your soul can project those negative images it helps to understand the dynamic, actually, what's going on. So don't think, oh no, they're blocked. No, just say, why is this in place, and get the revelation. Because if there's fear or doubt or apprehension about going through those gates, there must be a reason, usually because of what's outside them, creating that, don't come through here, this is my domain. You know, because the enemy's had access to our soul. Our soul itself has been in control, therefore it doesn't really want to let go. So it may well fight. So be prepared for that. Lie bust or engage the court to find out what the accusations are that give power to those images. And we have these tools. We'll go into that in a whole session and how to do that. So if you see something dark or a figure or something spiritually blocking the gate on the outside, again, find out why it's there and deal with it. And we're going to see that's a easy way of opening our gates. Then open them. You know, if you have dealt with that, or some of them may not have any blockages, just open the gate. Activate your imagination. Open the gate. I don't sure whether you'll find a handle or a door, or you just have to push it, whatever. But open it, and then let your spirit stand in the gate with Jesus and ask him about it. Talk to him about it. Sense it. Welcome the river of life and the glory of God to flow through it. And then make Jesus or the Father or God the Lord of that gate. Surrender. I want that gate not to be independent of my relationship with him. So I need to see it flow. I need to see that activated and operating. So engage all your senses. You may feel something. Meditate in the gate. You know, this helped me so much to stand in the gate and understand by being there what was going on. And it took me a while, but I became more sensitive to those things. What are you feeling? What are you sensing? What are you experiencing? You know, what does it feel like when something goes through your revelation gate? What fires off in your mind, or what fires off in your imagination? Just sense it. So here's a couple of sample prayers, and then we'll just go and activate this. For reverence gate. Father, I choose to engage the gate of reverence in my spirit. I open it and surrender it to the flow of your glory and the river of life. I declare that you are Lord of my reverence gate. I receive and release the power of God through this gate so that reverence will be the motivation that enables me to honor you in all my decisions, choices, and behavior. I release reverence to engage my conscience and protect and direct what I see, hear, smell, taste, touch, do, and say. Now, that's just a starting point. Find your own words, but engage it. Revelation gate. Father, I choose to engage the gate of revelation in my spirit. I open it. I surrender it to the flow of your glory and the river of life. I declare that you are Lord of my revelation gate. I receive and release your power through this gate with a flow of the revelation of your kingdom so that it will change my soul into the image of the Son of God who abides in me. It's like, whatever works for you, find something that you can begin to engage in so that it flows. Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil, soul and spirit. Pray, persist until you start to see results, and keep going till it becomes a lifestyle. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, but it will become a lifestyle of oneness and unity if you keep at it. You can work on all the gates. You can work on them one at a time or in groups, whatever works. You know, just find something that works for you and be persistent and diligent. Patience and persistence will bear fruit, you know, if you practice to train your senses. Now, we have within our spirit this gateway of first love. You know, we have a door and the handle is on our side. So we have a choice whether we're going to open it or not. So I'd encourage you right now just to, again, close your eyes, begin to engage that first love gate. If you've never met Jesus personally or invited God to come into your spirit, you can make a choice right now to open that, your life to him, and invite him in. Just turn from the way you've been living your life and turn to follow him. And those of you who've done that, some of you have even done that this week, begin just to sense his presence within you. It's a real place within you that his presence is. So just begin to think about that door within your spirit Just picture it in your mind. Just begin to activate your imagination around that gate. Just reach out and open, turn the handle, open the gateway, and welcome his presence into your spirit. Just sense his flow, the warmth, the energy, the life, the light that comes. Just see the river of life flowing. Just see the glory of God and that river of fire flowing. Now, as you're standing with Jesus or the Father or the Spirit, just ask one to come and walk with them to the gate. You may want to think of a particular gate, whatever your spirit draws you to, maybe reverence or revelation or faith. Just ask Jesus just to walk with you to that gate. And just look at it. Engage it. You may want to stay at one gate. You may want to go and look at all the gates right now. We're just going to spend some time just engaging there. You may want to ask Jesus or the Holy Spirit or the Father just what that gate means, what its purpose is, how it functions in you. Just get a sense to how you've been created, how fearfully and wonderfully you've been made. Just listen to his words, his thoughts in your mind. If your gates do appear blocked, then just ask Jesus to give you revelation of why, what's going on. If you are used to lie busting or engaging heaven's courts, then you can deal with that blockage right here and now. If not, just make a note of it and then you can deal with it later. I'll encourage you just to find a gateway which isn't blocked. Just go and stand in that gateway and open it. And just invite the river of life to flow through it and the fire of God, that river of fire and his glory to flow through it. And just stand in that gate with Jesus. Just sensing the flow with that gateway, the activity of it, the emotions, the feelings. Just spend some time in that gate or in various gates if you feel you can activate more than one. And just bring life. Just become alive and sensitive and active. again, this is just a short exercise. It's something you can do every day. You can spend time there. But there's a huge expectation of when you engage these gates, what's behind it. Have that expectation of learning and understanding and growing as you develop and practice opening the gates, understanding yourself. It becomes a lifetime of flowing from heaven, flowing on the inside out, engaging the realms of the spirit and understanding who you were created to be, your identity, destiny, purpose.